Round number two. Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoop Talks late July NBA podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Robson, joined by Sean Woodley. Sean, you finally fixed your tech issues. And, now we're good to go.
Yeah, it wasn't so much a tech issue as it was me forgetting to plug my computer in and not knowing where the charger was. Everything else is working just fine, so.
Swimmingly.
Yeah. We're ready to talk about the entire month of basketball things that we haven't talked about yet because I went on vacation for like 2 weeks, and then schedules were hard to match up, and we had to wait for stuff to happen. And now we have the entire view of what happened in the summer to talk about, and I think that's probably a little easier to talk about as opposed to not exactly knowing how things are going to play out with people like Kawhi Leonard or whoever else. So, yeah, we're just in it for the people. We hold off our content until the last possible minute so you can get the full holistic view of the summer that you don't get on any other podcast.
Yes, the biggest domino did drop. Lamar Odom announced he was going to play in China, so now we can all take a breath and get ready to move on with our lives.
Kind of upset he's not going to the Big Three.
Yeah, I mean, will you be, Big Three is in Toronto this evening.
Yes, that's the segue I was hoping you would lead into. Yes, I'm going to the Big Three tonight, and I'm so excited. It's going to be dumb and awesome. I'm super pumped.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Are you going too or no?
No, I am going to the Crown League final at Ryerson University this evening. So
yeah, that doesn't sound as fun.
A lot of non-NBA basketball going on. Unfortunate it's the same night.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, it's kind of weird timing, but the Big Three, I'm not even going to like cover it. I'm just going to drink beers and watch Ron Artest and Steven Jackson. I think I'm a Killer Threes fan. I'm sure this means nothing to anybody, but the
is it the Jamario Moon team?
No, that is the Three-Headed Monsters. That's the second team I'm going to root for because they have Jamario Moon and Rashard Lewis, who I'm a big fan of. But this other team, Killer Threes, has their captain's Chauncey Billups. They also have Steven Jackson and Meta World Peace, which sounds amazing. And then they have Alan Anderson and Mike James on the team.
That's quite the squad.
Yeah, and they're coached by Charles Oakley. So there's a lot of former Raptors content there, including Chauncey Billups. There's just a lot of really entertaining and fun people on that team. I'm going to root for them hard. And then the team I'm really hoping just falls flat on their face, I can't remember what they're called, but they have Brian Scalabrine and Deshaun Stevenson, and they're coached by Rick Barry. I hope they lose terribly.
you're not a Rick Barry fan, eh?
Rick Barry is one of the biggest assholes in the history of the NBA, so no, not a fan.
See, I like that. Yeah. I'll root for them.
Okay, fair enough. All right, what are we doing on today's show? We don't have that much time. What are we doing?
We are going to talk about some teams that added players this offseason and the teams that we believe are going to add the most wins to their total from last season next year.
Yeah, I thought this would be a good way to sort of get a gauge on who improved the most. And honestly, going through it, I couldn't really find that many teams that I thought got a lot better. Like, I think a lot of the improvements are going to come from teams just like being healthy, I guess, and just like internal growth for a couple teams, like the Nuggets, for example. Like, you could put them on the list, but they only really added Isaiah Thomas, and I'm not sure what that's really going to matter in terms of like adding wins to their team. It'll be nice to have him, but other than that, like, it's not like a huge addition. So it was hard to find teams that I think are actually going to be that much better next season, but I found a couple I think that are good. And we're going to do this as a two-part podcast. We're going to do the second part, the teams that are going to lose the most wins off their total next season, probably headlined by the Portland Trailblazers and Nick Stauskas being their fourth best player. So we'll get to them in the next podcast. But today, yeah, we'll go through the teams that we think are going to add the most wins to the total from their 2017-18 total based on what they did in July.
Yeah, you want me to kick it off?
Yeah, go with your first team.
All right, so we are going to head down to Northeast Texas and the Dallas Mavericks, who came out last year with a quite subpar 24-58 record.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know Mark Cuban doesn't like losing very much, so he went out and they did some stuff. They made the draft night trade, of course, for blog boy god Luka Doncic. So he should get a significant amount of playing time. They also finally brought DeAndre Jordan home after the years-long saga of trying to woo him.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, they didn't really make any other massive moves. Wesley Matthews opted in. He's back. They brought Devin Harris back to kind of be a vet mentor. But what I think for them could kind of add wins from the 24s, of course, you have Doncic now, who, if he translates, will at least be a productive player. And then I think Dirk will probably come off the bench, and Dwight Powell could maybe take that leap to being a higher-level player.
Yeah.
And without them tanking, I think they're going to play, because a lot of the fourth quarters last year, they threw out lineups with just a lot of dudes that nobody who's a casual fan had even heard of.
So what a Maxi Kleber.
Yeah, so I think playing your rotation for the full course of a game can just add to a couple extra wins as well.
Yeah, I think because they were so bad last year, I'm also picking them to win like an extra 10 to 15 games. Like, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, especially in the West where there's just a million teams. Maybe we can touch on that, but I don't think they're going to jump five teams or whatever they need to get to the playoffs. But yeah, like 35 to 40 wins, I could kind of see it, because DeAndre Jordan's like a useful dude. You can build a defense around him. Harrison Barnes, like, people shit on Harrison Barnes, but like, he's a useful player. And if he's not having to be like the go-to creator, if you just assume Doncic is going to be the guy who has the ball in his hands more often than not, Harrison Barnes can kind of go back to doing his Warriors thing where he just kind of hangs it off the ball, plays some good defense, plays the four a little bit. And I kind of like that. And then, yeah, like, I'm curious to see how Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka Doncic are going to sort of fit together. It might be like a great two-headed monster of dudes who can handle the ball and kind of start the offense, or it might kind of lead to some overlap. But I guess we'll see what happens there. But yeah, it's a much more complete roster than it was last year, which is not a high bar per se. But yeah, like, Dirk won't play very much. He can barely walk at this point. And you get Wesley Matthews, hopefully, as he gets further away from his Achilles injury a couple years ago, he gets stronger and stronger. He hasn't been like terrible with them by any means. He's just kind of been blah. So yeah, like, they're fine. Maybe they will be hurt by, because like, one of these teams will probably fall from the mid-30s down to the 20s, just because there's so many teams in the West that are going to, like, one of those teams is going to really flop, and maybe it's the Mavericks, but I think they're fine enough, and Rick Carlisle's a good coach, so yeah, I would say, like, an extra 10 to 15 wins probably for them without making the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they'll at least be in it for the first half of the year to kind of fight for that 8 seed with that group with, like, the Suns down there, who are also going to improve, and the Clippers as well. Yeah.
I also might have a biased opinion in favor of the Mavericks being good, because two of the worst games the Raptors played last year inexplicably came against the Mavericks, and like, Maxi Kleber looked amazing, and like, I don't know, Harrison Barnes did some stuff. I can't even, JJ Barea owned them, I remember that. Salah Mejri had a big game, so I guess if those guys are going, in my mind, they're much better than maybe they are in actuality, but I think they're good enough to get some extra wins for the Mavs. It was really weird to see the Mavs be so bad.
It is odd, because they're always one of those competitive teams. I think, like you said, that there could be some overlaps with Doncic and Dennis Smith, but I think their games are kind of different enough that if Dennis Smith can now be more of an attacker and a scorer, and then Doncic can be more of the guy that distributes, it can be a really nice combination in the backcourt. I don't even know if Doncic will start, though, right away.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you going Wesley Matthews? Yeah, are you going to watch a lot of Mavs games?
I mean, My kind of the way I watch the NBA through the years, at the beginning of the year, I will try to watch every team kind of equally, yeah. And then the worse you are, the less I'm going to watch. So
yeah, I kind of dabble early on. It's like a little sampler platter, and then eventually I order the entree, which excludes the rubbery calamari that was the Mavericks last year.
The nice thing about the Mavs is you get that central time zone, so if the first wave of East Coast games are bad, you can flick over for an 8 o'clock start and just kind of restart your evening.
Or it's just like a good halftime check-in, right? Like, you see the first 10 minutes while all the 7 o'clock games go to halftime. That's a good move as well. Yeah, they'll be fine. They kind of will probably tail off for me if they're bad, but at the start of the year, I'll definitely like make sure I have them on the docket a couple times for sure. Mm-hmm. Should I go with my first team?
Yeah, who you got?
So I have a team that finished below the Mavericks in the standings by one spot. They finished 22-60 last season. They did a really good job tanking. It's the Memphis Grizzlies. I kind of think they're going to win a lot more, like maybe double their win total from last year. Is that crazy to say?
That's pretty aggressive. I mean, they had a really good offseason, but like, winning 42 games in the West is going to be tough.
Well, here's the thing, is Mike Conley barely played last year. And like, him playing probably just gives you an extra 10 wins on your own. Considering what he means for that team, yeah, I would say so.
Well, it would be interesting to see how he plays with this new group.
Yeah, it's just like the drop-off from Mike Conley to whatever they had at point guard last year. Who the hell, like, they have Andrew Harrison playing point guard? Like, that's an enormous, that's a 10-win drop-off. Maybe Mike Conley himself.
Put some respect on Mario Chalmers.
Oh my god, yeah, so maybe Mike Conley's not worth 10 wins himself, but I think if he's worth 5 or 6, then the other guys are worth -4. Like, I think it evens out to my theory that they would be 10 wins better if Conley had played last year. And then, like, they just got, like, NBA players to put around guys, right? Like, Omri Caspi is fine, I guess. He's there. Dylan Brooks in his second year should be a little better. They got Kyle Anderson, who's, like, not amazing by any means, but is a nice player. He's not whatever they were running out there as, like, their end-of-roster dudes who are just completely, like, not NBA players whatsoever. They got Garrett Temple, another one of those guys who's like, yeah, he's an NBA player. You can put him in a rotation. He can be your ninth guy, and you're not going to completely bleed when he's out there. And then, like, Jamichael Green, I think he missed a lot of last season, too. Maybe he can come back and be kind of what he was before he got paid. Marshawn Brooks is on this team?
Yeah, he had an explosion at the end of last year.
What?
Yeah.
No. Where was he before?
China, I believe.
Yeah, he took 3 years off.
Yeah.
And he played, okay, yeah, explosion. He played 7 games.
Yeah, and he exploded in those 7 games.
He did
games.
Average 23-4. Oh, my God. Hell yeah, Marshawn Brooks. That was the first name that came to mind when the Nets traded for Marshawn Brooks, or traded for Dwight Howard, was that they didn't have to involve Marshawn Brooks in the trade. But yeah, I think
he was screwed by being a part of the Big Pierce trade.
Yeah.
He really was.
Poor Marshawn Brooks. I'm glad he's back. That's a cool story. I'm looking forward to a weird feature on him by somebody next year. That'll be good. But yeah, and also Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe he's awesome?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be kind of interesting to see how he works alongside Gasol because their games are almost similar in a way. They're kind of guys that can shoot the jump shot. Gasol, obviously, a little older now, so he doesn't have the range that Jaren has defensively. But playing them alongside each other, if teams go small, it'll be interesting to see if Jaren can keep up with wings on the perimeter. He showed that in college, but against NBA athletes, we'll see. I think they're kind of just going to be like the Mavericks where they'll win 10 to 15 more, but then you look through the West and see how difficult it is. Unless there's a big drop from a team like Portland or maybe Minnesota, if the pieces don't work, or San Antonio, I'm not really sure that they can win 20 more games. That's just kind of tough. Like, they're, like you said, they have a lot of NBA guys, but their entire roster is like Conley, Gasol, and then guys who are 8th and 9th men. So I'm not sure. It'll be interesting. I think Dylan Brooks could take a big leap, and Javon Carter getting slept on a little bit as a backup point guard, but he's a bulldog on defense, so I think you can put him out there even alongside Conley if you wanted to and not hurt yourself too much.
Guess what? I'm going to do a thing. I'm predicting the Grizzlies make the playoffs.
Oh, God.
I think they're going to be the 8th seed.
The Denver Nuggets didn't even make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, here are the teams that are going to fall out. The Blazers are going to fall out.
But you need at least three.
Yeah, I know. The Blazers, the Wolves, and the Spurs are all falling out.
I think the Spurs are going to fall out.
Or one of the Spurs or Pelicans. Although I think Anthony Davis is good enough that the Pelicans will be fine.
But the Spurs technically got better, adding an all-star that's going to play in the games.
Yes, but they make less sense. And they only made it by one game last year.
That's fair.
So I think the Grizzlies are going to be the 8th seed. I think they're going to stay healthy.
How much you want to wager on that?
I'll put $5 on it. Five dollars.
Okay, come on.
I don't have any other money, dude.
That's about that bet is fitting of your confidence level.
Oh, fine, $10. Grizzlies make the playoffs.
We'll go 10.
We'll put it. We'll slap it down. That's me slapping money, fictional money, onto the table.
Man, I think at least it does mean the race for the 8 seed will be even more compelling than it was last year when it was like 4 teams. Now you can expand it to like 6.
Yeah, there's only 2 shit teams in the West, I think.
Well, and the Suns don't even think they're bad.
They can think that all they want. They're a bunch of...
But I mean, they added vets.
I guess. They're a bunch of children. I think they're going to be like, at best, the 13 seed.
Yeah, but they're not going to tank, is what I'm saying.
Sure, but like they might be the team that just loses because they're young and dumb and lose to all the teams that have...
And then the Kings are destined for last place. Once again.
Oh, poor Kings.
Eh.
God. So I think the Grizzlies are going to make the playoffs. So I think the Nuggets, the Lakers, and Grizzlies all jump into the playoffs. And I guess we could touch on the Lakers while we're on this. Like, the Nuggets, they won 46 games last year. I think they probably win, like, 50 this year. So it's not, like, a huge jump for them. And like I said, they didn't add anybody. The Lakers added LeBron James and also a bunch of detritus. So I don't really know how to gauge how good they're going to be. I could see LeBron just kind of chilling for most of the season. And just
They're making the playoffs. LeBron.
Yeah, I think they make the playoffs, too. I think they might win like 45, 46 games. And maybe that gets them into the category of adding enough wins to be in the top four that we've picked here. But I think they're going to be right on the fringe of that. I think the Grizzlies are going to win like 25 more games than they won last year.
That is obnoxious.
No, they're going to go 40.
They're going to win 47 games.
I think they're going to – I'd say, okay, they're going to add 22 wins. They're going to double their win total. They're going to go 44-38. 44-38 in the 8th seed. That's my pick for the Grizzlies.
You are smoking some great stuff, my
No,
friend.
Man. And Jaren Jackson might win Rookie of the Year. That's – that. This is my – and Chandler Parsons will play actual basketball.
Okay, I'll bet on the Jaren Jackson Rookie of the Year. Never bet on Chandler Parsons. And they'll win like 38 games, and we'll call it even.
Okay, Chandler Parsons last season.
Oh, God. Don't try to hit me with some Chandler Parsons nonsense.
No, he only played 36 games. Never mind. I thought he played more. I thought he played like a sneaky high amount of games. The way he's sneaky athletic.
To come off the bench and do nothing.
But even then, it's like a fine bench player to have. Wayne Selden's kind of good. Give me the Grizzlies. They're making the playoffs.
The Grizzlies, if they were in the East, yes. So when the NBA expands and they move to the Eastern Conference, I'll agree with you.
No, if I'm picking my ascending order of West playoff teams right now, it's going to go Warriors, Rockets, Jazz, Thunder, Lakers, Pelicans, or Nuggets, Pelicans, Grizzlies. There we go. That's your West playoffs. All set. It's done. Write it in stone.
Interesting.
What's your next team that is going to add a lot of wins? They won't add as many as the Grizzlies are definitely going to, but who's going to add a lot of wins?
Well, they're not going to add as many as the Grizzlies might, just because I don't think this team is actually that good, but because they're in the East, they can at least compete with the Pistons and the Hornets for the 8th seed, and that is the Baby Bulls.
Yeah!
They're not going to play defense, we know that, so it's just going to be a lot of bucket getting. Mm-hmm. From my guy Jabari and my not so much guy Zach LaVine. I really hope that they sit down Robin Lopez and let Wendell Carter play up front.
Well, Wendell Carter's nice, man.
I love Wendell Carter. He's really and I already know that Hoiberg is going to bury him for too long because they have too many mouths to feed already. But yeah, I think just the fact that they have guys that can score means they're going to be in it with the bottom of those East teams, and like, even though the rest of the roster is not great, I hope Markkanen gets his chance, and Parker and LaVine don't just take all the possessions for themselves and hijack it. That's going to be the challenge for Hoiberg, obviously, is trying to design an offense where all these dudes who are still like in their early 20s and want to show off to get a big contract have to kind of work together. Mm-hmm. But if they can find a nice mix, I think it could work. I definitely think this team is also ripe to maybe add another player at the deadline if someone's disgruntled, because like, you're going to have guys in the back end of your rotation like Bobby Portis, Denzel Valentine, and maybe even Chris Dunn if they want to move on from him, or a playoff team wants Justin Holiday, that you have too many guys that need to play and not enough spots.
Yeah. I was really high on the Bulls like 3 days ago when we were supposed to record this podcast. I've softened on that. I think they're going to be fine. I think their defense is going to be like all-time bad. Their offense could be very fun.
It won't be as bad as the 2011 Raptors. The worst defensive team in history.
Oh, Jay Triano. Poor bastard. Poor bastard. Wendell Carter is an interesting dude because it seems like everybody already thinks he's going to be better than Marvin Bagley. And it seemed like everyone knew that on draft night, yet still there was no way he was getting drafted before Bagley. The draft is stupid.
Well, it's the blogger mentality of you have to be able to do everything instead of being good at one or two things.
Yeah, but like, what's Bagley good at again?
Well, he should be good at scoring inside, which he hasn't really shown consistently in summer league. But
I like Wendell Carter. I like the Bulls. They'll be fun. They'll be interesting to watch. I like Chris Dunn. I like Lauri Markkanen a lot. I'm gonna like Wendell Carter probably. And like, people shat on both the Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker contracts, and like, yeah, maybe that's a lot of money to spend on those guys. Although the Parker
one, but they have no other choice.
The Parker one's pretty low risk. The LaVine one makes a little less sense, but at the same time, like, LaVine has cool dunks and stuff. So, what are you playing for if you're the Bulls, really?
And that's the thing, right? Like, you let Zach LaVine walk, you have cap space to use on nobody, right? Like,
yeah.
What's the thing? And then maybe LaVine takes a big jump and he ups his efficiency back to where it kind of was during that year in Minnesota before he tore his ACL, when he was like a very high level role player, good starter, and you go from there.
I do kind of get some magic-y vibes from this.
A ton of bigs.
Yeah, just like, not even just a ton of bigs, just like a bunch of dudes who are pretty good, but just definitely not a one or two guy in a good team.
Yeah,
you know, maybe Markkanen can be that, but they kind of have a magic-y vibe to me. I'm in on the Magic again. I'm in on the Magic every goddamn year, and it's the stupidest shit ever, but Give me Mo Bamba.
Jabari Parker play the three is going to be fascinating.
He's going to get so cooked.
Yes, like anyone with speed will just get by him.
It's
going to
be super ugly. So yeah, I'm not in on the Bulls pick, I don't think. I think they're going to win like 33 games.
I think, though, just because the bottom of the East is so pathetic that, like, you can add some wins, you know?
I kind of think that the top...
I mean, the Hawks are going to win no more than 20 games.
The Hawks are going to be unbelievably bad. They might win, like, 15 games.
The Magic are not going to beat the 25 they won last year.
I think they might. I think they might.
I don't see it.
Jonathan Isaac plays all year.
Oh, God.
They got some kind of point guard, didn't they? Or did they not?
DJ Augustine is the starter.
Yeah, that's not great. They lost their leading assist getter, Shelvin Mack.
Yeah.
Who's now on my Memphis Grizzlies, by the way.
The only, like, I don't know. The East is fascinating, the bottom of the East, because every team was kind of, like, meh last year, and none of them really did anything.
And, like, a couple of these teams are going to hit, right?
Well, and the thing is, you expect the Central to probably get better. Like, if Bud does wonders with the Bucks, and then... I expect Dwayne Casey to get better results out of the Pistons.
Mm-hmm. The Bucks are an interesting one because they didn't really do anything in free agency, right? Like, they got Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
But I wonder if just, like, getting Bud and not having Joe Prunty and or Jason Kidd coaching the team is going to lead to them winning, like, an extra 12 games or something.
See, everyone keeps saying that, but I also go, okay, but Bud still needs the players to fit his system, which they don't really have.
Sure, sure.
Like Chris Middleton can hit threes.
It's a crazy weird roster. No
doubt. Is Jason Terry going to play 25 minutes a night to hit threes?
Oh, dear. Dante DiVincenzo?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Who played an exact 10 minutes of summer league basketball. So we really know what we're getting there.
I just wonder if it's going to be such a top-heavy conference that, like, the Raptors, Celtics, Sixers, and one other team all win over 50 games.
The Pacers probably going to win 50-plus.
It's the Pacers or Bucks, I guess. Unless you really believe in the Dwight Wizards.
I think they could win 43 games again.
Yeah, they're definitely not winning 50 because they're physically incapable of doing so.
Yeah, they're 40 to 45 every year.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah... I don't know. This will be the year the Hornets figure it out, probably. Even though they're just completely not interesting in any way. And if Kristaps was healthy, I'd probably pick the Knicks to make the playoffs. But I don't think he's going to be healthy.
I think they'll be fun to watch, though, with Fizdale.
Do you think seven of the last year's East playoff teams are going to make the playoffs again? And with the Cavs dropping out?
See, I think the Cavs are a sneaky 7 or 8 seed pick.
Yeah, maybe.
It's the whole Central Division is fighting for the 7 and 8 seed. It really is.
Yeah, so I think the Pacers and Bucks, I think, are probably 4 or 5. I guess.
I would put the Pacers in the class above, but then the Cavs, the Bucks, maybe a tiny bit better, but the Cavs, Pistons, Bulls, like, it's gonna be the land of 42 and 40.
Yeah, I think we could see seven of last year's eight East playoff teams make the playoffs again, with the Cavs dropping down, and then one of the Pistons, Hornets, Bulls, Nets?
No,
the Nets aren't making it in. We're not doing the Nets thing where it's like, oh, they're kind of good. No, they're not. They're not good. I like Ed Davis a lot. I can't predict them to do anything. Are you still there?
I am.
Oh, you dropped out for a second. But you're here. You're here again. Yeah, the East is going to be weird. So, what was the pick? The Bulls to win an extra something games?
Yeah, so the Bulls won 27 last year. I'm going to say they win 8 to 10 more games.
Okay.
End up at around 35 wins, 38 wins.
And that maybe gets you a 5 seed.
Okay, don't be total Eastern Conference is trash guy.
No, the East is going to be fun this year. I'm kind of excited for it. It's going to be weird. There'll be a couple teams that hit. There's still good players in it, including a player on your 70-win Toronto Raptors, Kawhi Leonard. No, I'm not picking the Raptors to win 70 games. I think I was going to pick the Raptors to add to their win total. I don't know if I actually believe it all that much. I think they're a much better team with Kawhi, but...
I think they are too, but winning
59 games again puts a ceiling on how much you can. Yeah, I think they could win like 65 if it all breaks right. But
you really think that the foundational changes, they can just reel off 65 wins. I don't know. It seems a little difficult.
Kawhi's really good. All the young guys are going to get better. And they're all still
there. I know, but you're bringing in a totally, like, the offense is going to be pretty different.
I don't see why it has to be different, really.
I think just working it out chemistry-wise.
But I think the system will work even better because Kawhi is just a better offensive player than DeMar to run things through, and then maybe it sort of leads to Kyle having a bit more of the ball in his hands because Kawhi is a better off-ball threat than DeMar was, and that leads to Kyle doing Kyle things more often than he did last year, and I think that's ultimately pretty good. So, I don't know. I think they're going to be very, very good. I think their defense is going to be top two or three in the league, and their offense shouldn't really fall off all that much, you know, considering how many shooters they have on the floor and just the way they like to get shots for guys. Like, it's going to be a really fucking good team, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, adding to 59 wins is going to be hard, but considering, like, we've talked about how bad the bottom of the East is going to be, there's going to be wins there. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if both the Raptors and Celtics approach 60 wins.
I think or surpass 60 wins. With a better record than the Raptors, but it would be, they're pretty much even teams, just the Celtics.
Yeah.
Everyone on that team is tested and can go and win a game.
And they're insane tryhards, for sure. I have a theory that I'm working on about the Celtics that I think needs a year or two more to really see if it's fully accurate, but I do think their tryhardism leads to them always having injuries. And they're always fucking hurt. There's always somebody or five somebody.
They are always, and they don't get roasted for it the way other teams' medical staffs get roasted for.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, they're always hurt, and they.
And
I
it's
think
always three or four guys deep.
Yeah, and, like, the through line is that every single year they try harder than everybody else.
Mm.
What I'm saying is trying hard is bad.
Interesting.
Don't try hard at stuff, people.
That's the way to the top.
Yeah. Wait until July 27th to do a podcast on free agency instead of doing a bunch during free agency.
Galaxy brain, light years, all of the buzz phrases.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the Raptors could win like an extra four or five games in theory, like in like the most likely outcome probably. I don't know. Any teams in the East that you look at and say like, yeah, they could win like 10 extra games outside of the Bulls? Again, if the Knicks were healthy, if Kristaps was going to play, I'd probably pick them to win like 42, but that's
maybe the Hornets recapture some of that magic from 2 years ago. I don't know. I can't.
Well,
really
the thing about
it.
The Hornets is that like their Pythagorean record every year is like 47-35. They just can't win close games ever. And maybe a lack of tough competition in the East will lead them to win those games more often. Or maybe, and like a new coach James Borrego, maybe Steve Clifford's the common denominator there, and they were sucky in close games because of Steve Clifford. But yeah, they could make. I might pick the Hornets to make the playoffs, yeah. And, like, win, like, 46, 47 games?
Yeah.
Did they do anything?
Anything is possible.
Did they do anything this summer?
They added Tony Parker.
Oh, right!
Yeah, and they drafted Miles Bridges.
Oh, that's a nice
pickup. And they got Bismack Biyombo back where
that's
it all
right.
began.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe Malik Monk can do something in his second year.
Yeah, I mean, he came on in garbage time last year, so.
Which of the Hornets players' wives is Tony Parker most likely to perform a lewd act upon?
Ooh. I'm not sure. I'm not sure Hornets' marital situation like other teams. They're pretty private.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really on blast like some other teams.
Like
so.
Marvin Williams, he seems ripe for it.
Just like a guy who goes to work every day.
Yeah. I personally hope it's Frank Kaminsky, but.
Frank Kaminsky does not have a wife, I can guarantee.
He's 25 and from the Midwest. Of course he has a wife. Probably has two kids.
Good.
Hold on. Let's look at this up. Personal life. He doesn't have a personal life section on.
Very Wisconsin Badger of him.
There's no way he's not married. He's 25 from the Midwest.
They are all robots.
Yeah. Maybe that's generalizing, but I don't think it is.
You're white and from kind of the Midwest, and you don't have a wife.
No, that's true. I also don't have any money. Frank Kaminsky has money to have paid off all of his accrued student debt, which he didn't have anyway because he was a scholarship basketball player.
Interesting.
I have no money for such things, so
I believe Frank Kaminsky was a walk-on in his first year and paid his own way.
Color me shocked that Frank Kaminsky wasn't a highly recruited guy.
It's all about finding diamonds in the rough, Sean. Don't you know?
Is that just what they call white people in Wisconsin?
Whites that come on later in their career, yes.
Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges looks like he'll be good. He's a good name, Miles Bridges. He's got a good height.
He was also stuck at Michigan State last year. Yeah. There was a lot of guys on the roster did the same things he did. So
a little less sexy compared to Jaren Jackson.
In a more open floor.
He had good-ass numbers in school, too. Damn.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the preseason player of the year. Like, he was...
Okay, I'm picking the Hornets to win an extra 12 games. How about that? They're going to win 48 games.
Wow.
It's not going to be hard to win 48 in the West, in the East, man. They're in the Southeast Division.
Yeah, so you got look at who they play. You got 8 automatic wins against the Heat and the Magic if you play yourself properly.
And, like, the Wizards are trash, and I'm not sure the Heat are particularly good either.
Yeah, I think the Heat could see some regression since it's the same group again.
Yeah, I mean, the Heat, again, are the most 500 team of all time, so...
And Wade got them some wins last year, and if he's not there...
Yeah, they're an aggressively 500 team. So, law of averages would say they go 38 and 44 this year to even it out.
Sure.
After what, going 41 and 41 the season prior?
Yeah, I think so.
They're the Dallas Cowboys over the course of the entire...
8-8 aughts. Forever.
Yeah. Their career, their franchise all-time record is 500, minus all the championships. Yeah, the Heat are the Cowboys. I think that's a good point.
Are the Miami Heat America's team?
I feel like America's team now has to be more racist. For being honest, America's team, as America is currently constituted, probably like the Bucks or the Pacers, if we're being honest with ourselves.
I'm going to withhold comment.
It's not good. It's not a good thing by any means, but that's kind of where we're at.
All right. Well, I think that means we're finished today.
I guess. Look, I was just in America. It was fine. There's bad stuff also in America that I think needs to be acknowledged. How about that?
There's bad stuff everywhere.
This is true.
Yeah.
You don't need to defend America, though, Mitch. I think...
I'm not defending. I'm just not throwing shots from my glass house.
Yeah, Canada also is trash. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are Canada's team, probably, so...
Hey, Justin Rowan roots for that team very hard.
I guess Canada's team is now... Is America and Canada's team now the Montreal Alouettes?
Oh, terrible. Don't tease that you're going to put Johnny in the game and then not play him.
Yeah, Mike what Sherman. The hell is going on? I don't know.
What are you doing? Just put him out there. You're down by 25 points.
Yeah.
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 Anyways. Well,
Johnny Manziel talk on the Hoop Talks podcast.
That's late July NBA. No one cares.
What's going on in the NBA late July? Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel.
And probably a debate about how good Nikola Jokic is.
Oh, no thank you. I'll sign off on that note.
Next week, we compare Karl Anthony Towns and Nikola Jokic for 3 hours.
Thrilling content.
Yeah, can't wait for
I'm sure it'll get all of the clicks.
Yes. Is that going to do it?
Yeah, you got anything coming this week? Probably not.
Yeah, a couple podcasts, probably. It's kind of been the part of the year where I do like one or two a week because what the hell.
Nice.
There's a bunch of Kawhi podcasts you can listen to. Of course. That's about it for me. Twitter, at Woodley Sean. Don't follow me. Too many people followed me lately because of some...
I got a huge bump, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like Chris Walder's Twitter list. Please stop following me. I don't want any more followers. I'm at a good amount. Just stop.
Bring them to me. I'm finally over the 1,000 barrier, so I feel legit now.
Oh, fancy.
Big moves.
I remember my first beer. Does that joke apply to this? I don't know. Probably not.
Old man versus child.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. Yeah. We'll be back in the coming weeks, maybe, with the teams that are going to lose a lot. So.
I think Monday. Monday, probably.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll aim for Monday.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll talk to you later. Hoop Talks, NBA podcast.